Welcome to Touching Hearts and Changing Lives, hosted by Reverend Otley Holmes, Senior Pastor of Shiloh Missionary Baptist Church in Mesa, Arizona, where our vision is touching hearts and changing lives by the power of His Word, Luke 4, 18 and 19. Our mission is to go ye therefore and teach all nations, Matthew 28, 19 and 20. Now, please join us in a study of the Word of God.
Welcome once again to Touching Hearts and Changing Lives. This is Pastor Holmes, your host. This is a day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Bless His holy name. I thank and praise my God for allowing us together once again for this radio Bible study time. Well, let us approach the throne of grace. Father, we thank You with all of our hearts for what You continually do for us. We ask now, Master, that Your Holy Spirit would just simply have His way with our hearts and our minds. Lead, guide, and direct our paths. Open and illuminate our hearts and our minds, Father, that we might be more conformed to the image of Your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, we love and praise You. We give You all the glory. We ask this all in Jesus' name, for His name's sake. Amen. Well, for those of you who are tuning in maybe for the first time, we're in a study of the book of Acts. We're in chapter 7. We're going to pick it up about verse 9. Last week when we were together, I was talking about Joseph. And right now what's going on is Stephen, one of the first deacons at the church in Jerusalem, is now giving account to his malefactors that have charged him with blasphemy. And he is now defending himself. And he's giving the entire history of the nation of Israel. So let us pick it up in verse 9. It says, "And the patriarchs moved with envy, sold Joseph into Egypt, but God was with him and delivered him out of all his afflictions and gave him favor and wisdom in the sight of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And he made him governor over Egypt and all his house." Now, what the account goes, if you go back to Genesis, that Joseph's brothers were jealous of him because he had received the vision from God and said that one day that the vision went as their sheaves would bow down to his sheaves. And they got highly upset with him. And one day they plotted actually to kill him. But rather than doing that, his elder brother came to his rescue, per se, by concocting a plan to sell him to a caravan that was coming through. And they sold him and he went into servitude. He wound up in Potiphar's house and Potiphar's wife took a liking to him. But Joseph would not demean himself or fill his life with sin by having an affair with a married woman. And she declared that he had tried to rape her and he wound up in prison. But to make a long story short, God used all the negativity of Joseph's life to bring about a blessing for many people. So let's read a little further. "Now there came a dearth over all the land of Egypt and Canaan and a great affliction, and our fathers found no sustenance. But when Jacob heard that there was corn in Egypt, he sent out our fathers first. And at the second time, Joseph was made known to his brethren, Joseph's kindred was made known unto Pharaoh. Then sent Joseph and called his father Jacob to him and all his kindred, 75 souls. So Jacob went down into Egypt and died, he and his fathers." Well, the family is finally reunited through some circumstances of a great famine taking place, and they didn't have anything to eat, but they knew there was corn in Egypt because when Joseph was under Pharaoh's leadership and he was his second in command, he said the Pharaoh actually had a dream where there was 7 fat cows and 7 lean cows, and Joseph interpreted the dream to mean that there would be a time of plenteous harvest, that was the 7 fat cows, but there would be a time when the 7 lean cows would come across, and that meant there was going to be a time of famine. And because they had stored grain during the fat years, there was now grain to be had. And that's how God used that adversity to bring Joseph back to his family members. When they had sold him into slavery and thought they had done good by doing evil, evil brought about good in the long run. Amen? Amen. Let's continue on in the story. And it says verse 17, "But when the time of the promise drew nigh, which God had sworn to Abraham, the people grew and multiplied in Egypt." Now, when I was thinking about this section of scripture and meditating on it, you know, when you think back to when God told Father Abraham that he would make him a father of many nations, that he would bless his seed, that there would come a time that his people would be in bondage for 400 years. Now, to you and I, that doesn't seem like that's a blessing, to be placed in bondage for 400 years. But when I thought about this, think about this for a moment, that it is through adversity that we become strong. It is through adversity that we learn more about God and more about ourselves. God used that bondage as a time when he took basically 75 family members and turned them into a nation of millions. He took that 400-year period because they were in bondage. They could not move about. They could not spread across the known world. They could not intermingle with pagan nations. God separated them by the use of bondage, but yet he brought about a greater blessing. And when the time was fully come, then he set them free. And I don't know about you, but that's exciting news, because sometimes we wonder why we go through the things we go through. And many times we go through the things we go through because we have made mistakes or we have sinned. But many times we go through because God is separating us, preparing us for a greater work that we yet to understand. Amen? Amen. Verse 18, till another king arose which knew not Joseph. The same dealt subtly with our kindred and evil entreated our fathers, so that they cast out their young to the end that they might not live. In which time Moses was born and was exceeding fair and nourished up in his father's house 3 months. And when he was cast out, Pharaoh's daughter took him up and nourished him for her own son. And everybody that's any kind of a Bible student is well aware of the story of Moses. Verse 22, and Moses was learned in all wisdom of the Egyptians, and was mighty in words and in deeds. And when he was fully 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. Now Moses had been raised in Pharaoh's daughter's house. He had been raised under the study of the Egyptians. He had been well educated. And now it came a time at 40 that he decided in his heart that he needed to visit his brethren from Israel. So it says, and seeing one of them suffer wrong, he defended him and avenged him that was oppressed and smote the Egyptian. For he supposed his brethren would have understood how that God by his hand would deliver them, but they understood not. And the next day he showed himself unto them as they strove, and would have set them at one again, saying, sirs, ye are brethren, why do you wrong one another? But he that did his neighbor wrong thrust him away, saying, who made thee a ruler and a judge over us? Wilt thou kill me as thou didst the Egyptian yesterday? Now all of a sudden, we know that Moses has been called of God to be a leader and a ruler of his people, but yet the people are rejecting his rulership. And many times when we present the gospel to those whom we come in contact with, we ourselves will be rejected. But we always have to be mindful of the fact that they are not rejecting us, they are rejecting Christ. Amen? Amen. And when 40 years were expired, there appeared to him in the wilderness of the Mount Sinai the angel of the Lord in a flame of the fire in a bush. And when Moses saw it, he wondered at the sight, and as he drew nigh to behold it, the voice of the Lord came unto him, saying, I am the God of thy fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. Then Moses trembled and durst not behold. Now this is the first meeting that Moses is having face to face with God, if you will. He sees a bush that is a fire, a bush that is burning, but the bush is not consumed. And because the bush was not being consumed, this drew Moses' attention to that bush. Little did he know he was about to have a divine appointment with God himself. Verse 33, then said the Lord to him, put off thy shoes for thy feet, for the place where thou art standing is holy ground. Now we also have to be mindful of the fact, now this is Deacon Stephen, if you will, recanting everything about the history of the nation of Israel, how they began and how they brought forth to this day. And I want that to be mindful as we go through this study, because we're not just rehearsing the history for the sake of rehearsing the history of Israel. We got to remember this is Stephen's testimony. Verse 35, thus Moses, whom they refused, saying, who made thee a ruler and a judge? The same did God send to be a ruler and a deliverer by the hand of the angel which appeared to him in a bush. He brought them out after that he had showed wonders and signs in the land of Egypt and in the Red Sea and in the wilderness 40 years. This is that Moses, which said unto the children of Israel, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me, him shall ye hear. Excuse me. Well, we see now that Moses is prophesying about the coming of the Messiah. And this exciting thing, Stephen sat and rehearsed this whole historical background of his faith before his malefactors, the ones that were trying to bring him up on the judgment of blaspheming God. So we see that many times you and I might be called to give a defense of our faith. We find that in this life that we're living in now, in this world, we have our Christian liberties are slowly being eroded. There are things that are on horizon that we, as the body of Christ, if we do not wake up and pay attention to what's going on, we're going to find ourselves in some dire straits. There's going to come a time when some of the things that we preach about in the Word of God may even become illegal man-wise to preach. We would have to make a decision whether to preach and be fined, preach and go to jail, or stand firm to the Word of God. Now, some might think that that's just, you know, reacting too much or too greatly, but I firmly believe that the hour is coming that if we do not begin to repent as a nation and a body of believers and call on the name of the Lord, these things will begin to take place. Well, my brothers and sisters in Christ, it's almost time to wind this program down. I encourage you to please visit our website at www.smbcmesa.org, where you can revisit our programs, our worship services, and just see what we're all about. And at any time, you are welcome to stop by 56 South Robson, where our sanctuary is, and worship with us on Sunday morning, and Sunday school at 9 a.m., worship service at 11. And take care, and God bless. See you again next week.
Touching Hearts and Changing Lives radio program is an outreach ministry of Shiloh Missionary Church and is hosted by Reverend Otley W. Holmes, Jr., Senior Pastor. Please join us every Saturday evening at 7 p.m. on KXXT 1010. We're located at 56 South Robson Mesa, Arizona, 85210. And it's right on the corner of Robson and First Avenue in downtown Mesa. Service times are Wednesday evening prayer meeting, 5:30 to 7 p.m., and Bible study, 7 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. Sunday morning, Sunday school, 9 a.m. Worship service is at 11 a.m. For more information, call 480-844-2687 or email sbchurch1011@quest.net. Be sure to log on to the website www.smbcmesa.org. This program has been sponsored by the membership of Shiloh Missionary Baptist Church.